नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, the beautiful story of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In chapter 5, and we're Narada's teachings to Vasudev, Chapter 11, chapter 4. The transliteration, Vipraha, the Brahmins, Vajanya, Vaishya, of the royal order and the Vaishyas. Va, or Hare, of the Supreme Lord Hari. Praptaha, after being allowed to approach. Raantikam, near the lotus feet. Shoktina, Janmana, by having received the second birth of Vedic initiation. Atta, din, api, even. Muryanti, bewildered. Amnayabadinaha, adopting various materialistic philosophies. Vipro rajanya vaishava, Hare Prapta Padhantikam Shotena Janmanatati Muryantya Amnaya Vadinaha Vipra Rajanya Vaishava Hare Prapta Padhantikam Shoktena Janmanatapi Muryanti Amnaya Vadinaha
Thank you.
Translation. On the other hand, Brahmanas, members of the royal order, and Vaishyas, even after being allowed to approach the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Hari by receiving the second birth of Vedic initiation, can become bewildered and adopt various materialistic philosophies. Purport. It is said that a little knowledge can be very dangerous. Those who are falsely proud of material social status and who thus neglect to perfect their worship of the personality of Godhead are condemned in this verse. Nyanji amnaya vahadi maha. Becoming attracted by the sense gratification of high status within the Varnashram social system, such persons become more attracted to illusory material philosophy than to the absolute truth, which is not material. Within the Vedic system, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, as mentioned in this verse, are all offered initiation into the Gayatri Mantra, are considered twice born or highly civilized men. By studying Vedic literature, chanting Vedic mantras, executing ritualistic ceremonies, and worshipping the spiritual master and the personality of Godhead, such persons could actually come near to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. If one in such an exalted position becomes proud of his status or fascinated by the heavenly material enjoyment that is undoubtedly available to the followers of the Varnashram system, then one so bewildered returns to the illusory material platform of birth and death. Even the highly posted demigods become victims of Maya's enticement, as described in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Yanti Yat Suraha. In order to justify their illusory desire to enjoy dead matter, such foolish persons condemn themselves by minimizing the necessity of worshiping the personality of Godhead, Avajjananti, and falsely try to give equal importance to the Karma Kanda section of the Veda, which awards heavenly sense gratification in exchange for the performance of prescribed ritualistic ceremonies. Such bogus rationalizers are described in Bhagavad Gita 2.42. Yami mam pushtitam bacham tabadantya vipaschitaha vedavada ratakarta nannet asitavadinaha. Men of small knowledge are very much attached to the following words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to the heavenly planet, resulting good birth, power, and so on. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. Chirupapa's purport to this verse of Bhagavad Gita gives a clear picture of the offensive class of men described therein. People in general are not very intelligent, and due to their ignorance, they are most attached to the fruitive activities recommended in the Karmakanda portion of the Vedas. They do not want anything more than sense gratificatory proposals for enjoying life in heaven, where wine and women are available and material opulence is very common. In the Vedas, many sacrifices are recommended for the elevation to the heavenly planets, especially the Jyotishtoma sacrifices. In fact, it is stated that anyone desiring elevation to the heavenly planets must perform these sacrifices, and men with poor fundamental knowledge think that this is the whole purpose of Vedic wisdom. It is very difficult for such inexperienced persons to be situated in the determined action of Krishna consciousness, as fools are attached to the flowers or poisonous trees without knowing the results of such attraction. Similarly, unenlightened men are attracted by such heavenly opulence and the sense enjoyment thereof. In the Karmakanda sections of the Vedas, it is said that those who perform the 4 monthly penances become eligible to drink the soma rasa beverage to become immortal and happy forever. Even on this earth, some are very eager to have soma rasa to become strong and fit to enjoy sense gratification. Such persons have no faith in liberation from material bondage, and they are very much attached to the pompous ceremonies of Vedic sacrifices. They are generally sensual, and they do not want anything other than the heavenly pleasures of life. It is understood that there are gardens called Nandana Kanana, in which there is good opportunity for association with angelic, beautiful women, and having a profuse supply of soma rasa wine. Such bodily happiness is certainly sensual. Therefore, there are those who are purely attached to material, temporary happiness as lords of the material world. The significant point in this verse is that such bewildered materialists who have become attracted to the materialistic portions of the Vedas, Niyanti Annaya Vadana, desire to ignore the supreme proprietorship of the personality of Godhead, who is a supreme enjoyer, Bhuktaram Jagatapasam. And at the same time, they wish to preserve their exalted status as followers of the Vedic principles. Such duplicitous persons take shelter of materialistic philosophers such as Daimani, who deny the existence of God as a tangible principle, Ishvara Siddhi, and therefore recommend material fruitive activities as the highest noble truth. Such so-called Vedic philosophers amount to little more than polished atheists and are therefore understood to be Anishvaravadina, or those who preach against the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although foolish materialistic followers of the Varnashram system desire to maintain their exalted status as Aryans or twice-born men, and at the same time neglect the personality of Godhead, it is clearly stated in the Bhagavatam 11.5.3, Ganad Kashtak Katankadha. Such persons inevitably fall from a position into a degraded condition of life. As confirmed in this verse by the word Mayanti, they fall into the darkness of ignorance. Sometimes such pompous persons even present themselves as gurus. However, Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur has pointed out that they are actually lagu, or flimsy, rather than guru, or heavy with Vedic knowledge. It is one's ultimate duty to oneself, Swatikati, and to the person of Godhead to give up all materialistic activities characterized by karma and jnana and surrender fully at the lotus feet of the Lord. Only the most unfortunate person will consider that there is a higher pleasure in ecstatic surrender at the lotus feet of Gokula Nanda, the personality of Godhead. So we're speaking a lot about this, the flowered words of the Vedas. I'm not sure what part of the Vedas that is. I don't think Prabhupada has translated that. Does anyone know what it's like? That's what it's called? It's like a special book or something? Okay. Anyway, Prabhupada had us go right to the essence of the Vedas, which is to worship the Supreme Personality of God, of Gokulananda, the personality of Godhead. Fortunately, we didn't get off on that sidetrack. I guess many people do go that way. But in the Bhagavad Gita, it says that it is recommended for some. Well, I guess Krishna's idea was that they would become a little bit engaged in the sacrifices and become a little bit devoted and pious, and then eventually that they would come to the Upanishads, which would get them on the track of transcendental life. But I guess a lot of people don't get quite that far, like I said, too. Just a little bit of knowledge is sometimes worse than they have knowledge. So luckily we're spared that. Srila Prabhupada encouraged us from the very beginning just to water the root, not to worry about so many different demigods, 33 million of them, doing different things for them. And because it says in the awesome Bhagavad Gita that all those little small ponds, all their service is automatically once taken care of just by the big great reservoir of water. So by serving Krishna, all of this is taken care of. But there still can be that attraction for sense pleasure, which is the main purpose of this purport. And so I was wondering, actually, the idea of the Karmakanda is to attain some kind of heavenly planet, and I was thinking, okay, where is heaven? And if you look at all the churches around here, the steeples go up, right? So you think, okay, heaven's up. But when you start reading the Vedas, you're wondering if it's up or down or sideways because it's so confusing. Luckily, we have a team of people working on the Vedic planetarium, and they're going to get it all so that we can see how it goes, hopefully. And hopefully have a long explanation of where we're situated. Anyway, still curious about where the heavenly planets are. I opened up the fifth canto this morning and I started reading, and it seems like this Mount Meru, which is quite inconceivable to us, there's a Bhumandala. We're getting closer now. But in this Bhumandala, there's lots of lotus petals, but in the middle of the Bhumandala, is Jambudvip. And this Jambudvip is actually where all these heavenly things are. There are, I remember from reading a long time ago, there's, you can find a mango the size of an elephant that has no skin and no seeds. I don't know how that works. I don't know. But there's so many different things. There's a nice description. I'll read a couple of them. But don't get attracted. Go that direction. But anyway, it's describing this land known as Vritavarsha. There's so many different mountains. And on these four mountains, there are trees that are 1,100 yojanas high. A mango tree, a rose apple tree, a kadama tree, and a banyan tree. There are also lakes full of milk, honey, sugarcane juice, and pure water. These lakes can fulfill all desires. There are also gardens named Nandana, Chitrarasa, Vaibhrajaka, and Sarvabhadra. On the side of Subharshva Mountain is a kadama tree with streams of honey flowing from its hollows. And on Kumuda Mountain, there's a banyan tree named Shatavatsya, from whose roots flow rivers containing milk, yogurt, and many other desirable things. Surrounding Sumeru Mountain, like filaments of the world of a lotus, are 20 mountain ranges. And it goes on and on. And it's described that on those mountain ranges, you'll find Brahmavarsha. You'll find Lord Brahma's abode. You'll find Indra's abode. So this is actually where I guess Christians and a lot of people want to go to this, these places of heavenly planets. I don't know exactly what is going on there, except that we hear that there's a lot of parties going on in Indraloka all the time. And I guess there's servants there because they come and they do dancing. I guess they're happy just doing that dancing. That's your enjoyment. Kind of hard to conceive of the whole thing. The five-star hotels, four-star hotels. You know, what kind of enjoyment. But there must be a lot of enjoyment going on there. But if you read the small print on the label, on the advertisement, it is temporary. And the problem is that you can get so much allured that you really don't... You don't want to come home, but then you have so many material desires that you end up coming back to the material world. In the next chapter after the description of Jambudvip, there's prayers by the residents of Jambudvip. And actually, they're beautiful prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they go to each different form of the Lord and give prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev, to all the different Macha Avatar and different forms of the Lord. So there are devotees there in heaven. They're worshiping the Lord. But the sensual pleasures are so extreme that it agitates those desires again. And you end up having to come back here to enjoy what? I don't know. Not much compared. Described that the residents of Jambudvip look at all the beauty queens here in America and said that they look like frogs. So I don't know how they would take that. But anyway, so we have to be careful not to go there. I know that when Prabhupada wrote the letter about when Jayananda left his body, he said that, well, maybe he's gone to enjoy, you know, thousands of births and the heavenly planets. And oh, man. But maybe, the he has probably gone to the spiritual world. So hopefully that's what we can work on. The Varnashram system is actually meant to work on you on the path of devotion, getting more and more focused on just serving the Supreme Lord. But as we heard from Nagaraj the other day, not all of it's in, all the parts are put together yet for us to establish Varnashram. But I can see, like in Australia, they have a farm there, and many of the whoopers come. We have some here also. That they come and they you know, attend some of the program. They take a lot of prasadam, and at that place they have quite a few. They have like 100 or something of workers. They have a 300-acre farm. And so they actually have like a series of buildings that hold these people. And then as they become more interested in Christian consciousness, there's another building where they could start attending the program. And then another, they work their way up till they actually become full-time devotees. There's actually one devotee, one of the workers that was here. He was, his name was Alex, and he had been a New Taliban. He came here, really loved it, but he went back to New Taliban. Now I understand he's a full-time devotee, channel 69. Yeah. So I can see that we have to perfect this system of how to engage everyone and present Krishna consciousness so that they become attracted to serving the Supreme Lord. And that requires, you know, a lot of understanding of the philosophy. Before my mother died, I asked her, well, are you getting ready to, you know, see God? And she kind of blushed and said, you know, I said, what do you think it's going to be like there? And she goes, and she like looked at me very strange, and she says, I don't know. And I said, well, what do you think he's going to look like? What are you going to be wearing? And she goes, I guess a robe. And I'm thinking what people actually think of heaven. I hope she's not disappointed that he has a goatee on. But anyway, I don't think she made it there. So what are these conceptions of the pearly gates and everything? What's behind those pearly gates? Fortunately, we do know. We just like the song Jayarada Madhava, it's all there. Everything is there. And the pictures open, windows of the spiritual world and the deity worship. It is there, and we can become very much attracted. So our heaven can be here on earth. I don't know if you've ever experienced Japa heaven, but sometimes when you go on a Japa retreat and it goes away from all your services here and you really get into your Japa with, you know, that you experience it like a Japa heaven. It's just like fantastic. Or you go to these Kirtan heaven, you know? Or just getting absorbed in the books, like I watch him every morning. He's just like totally into his books, you know? And it's a whole different place. It's a heaven that we can experience right now. I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur has one song where he has such a transformation of consciousness in this lifetime that he sees his house being transformed in the Vaikuntha. And he just tastes the shock and he's like, gone. Just like tasting this one preparation in favor of the Lord Chaitanya. So this purification is required though. And it requires a transformation of the heart. I know yesterday we were giving out books and I was saying that they looked at all the yoga books. Oh, I like that yoga. I said, well, this is spiritual yoga. It's yoga of the heart, you know. So it is. It's the yoga of the heart. It goes very deep and arranges for us to be able to meet Krishna, to connect to Krishna in our heart. But as it says here, that we have to be very careful, even as devotees, because we can find that in our hearts that it can become very swollen with pride, and then there's no room for that love of Godhead to, there's no room for it. You're so proud of your position as this or that, whatever. Although we heard in the class the other day, you can fall down. Prabhupada said, fall from where? Where are you anyway? But somehow or other, we have this pride and we're thinking we're, the cat's the vomit. But we have to understand that there is that tendency for adoration and for high position and for respect. And we can. We come to Krishna consciousness with a really spiritual intention. Yeah, I'm going to become purified. I just chant this my one perfect round. I'll become purified. And I renounce everything. And, don't call my parents for 5 years. This is, whatever. But somehow or other, the little spark of sense gratification comes in there. And we get a nice position of Krishna consciousness. And become famous for one little teeny little bit of something we might do. And then the spiritual intentions turn material. And it's unfortunate because then sometimes we, in this position, we're not comfortable. We're actually in a false position. And then it can cause disturbance within our society. So it's best to be honest with ourselves and find what position we're actually in. And Krishna's not looking at, all the positions in ISKCON and thinking, yes, topmost devotee because he's in this position. He's actually looking at our service attitude. There's so many different remembrances of Prabhupada. I remember sitting in class and giving an example that the pujari is just the same as the person sweeping the floor. So many times he said that. There's no difference. But we're all just servants of the servant. Not that anyone any better. And we can see in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, his affection for Sridhar, Thakur. You know, simple little hut, he had, holes in his roof and everything, but Lord Chaitanya came to get his darshan, Sridhar had Lord Chaitanya's darshan every day, and he was in ecstasy. Simple, humble devotee. And then the South Indian Brahmin who was illiterate, reading the, upside down the Bhagavad Gita or whatever, but he was in ecstasy thinking of the Lord, and Lord Chaitanya recognized him. Yes, he is a real knower of Bhagavad Gita, because in his heart he's seen Krishna as the Supreme Person. So this is where we should go with our goal, is to actually try to become very much eager to serve Krishna, to please him in whatever way we can. Find some place that we're comfortable in doing service, and guard against that honor, and understand what the real goal is, that somehow or other we can take shelter of the devotees, because that is our protection, that is our guard. Otherwise, if we stay by ourselves, somewhere, and we'll be thinking that, oh yes, I'm chanting my best rounds, I'm understanding everything, I'm doing this. And then when we come in contact with other devotees, and we're thinking, oh, they're so much lower than I am. But if you stay within the temple here, stay within, serving with other devotees, you'll see really what our real position is, that we're simply one little teeny part of, that Lord Chaitanya has allowed us to be here to be part of his movement. Get a little glory in doing it, although he does all the work. We have to keep that goal in mind. There's one nice song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur again about this goal and about the caution we should have within our devotional service. O Lord, this is my humble submission at your lotus feet. I do not ask from you sensual pleasure, learning, wealth, or followers. I do not beg for residence on the celestial planets, nor do I wish liberation from this mundane existence. I do not pray for the attainment of any mystic powers. Whatever birth I may obtain due to either the attributes or faults of my previous worldly activities, I pray that I may sing the glories of your holy name birth after birth. This is my only desire, O Lord, and I submit it at your lotus feet, that unmotivated devotion to you may constantly awaken in my heart. As much attachment as I now have for worldly affairs, I pray that a similar degree of attachment may develop for your lotus feet. I pray that my love for you may remain undisturbed both in misfortune and in prosperity. May that love increase day after day by the power and influence of your holy name. Be my life in heaven or in hell, or as a bird or a beast, may devotion to you always remain within the heart of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So this is the real desire of the pure devotee. And it's a tall calling for us to have all those different qualities and to really have that pure desire. But we're still attracted to these so-called heavenly pleasures that are offered. I remember going to Mauritius one time, and on the plane, before you arrive, they go, yes, and they call this heaven on earth. And I thought, wow, must be very far out. Can't wait to hit the beach and everything, And then I get there, and highly overrated. All the trees are about this big, and they're all bent over because of all the millions of hurricanes that have come through there. And the cows are about this big. Almost no udders at all. I mean, no Sarabi cows, that's for sure. So, it's you're not going to find heaven on earth. So even, the followers, of Christian saints and saints going to heaven, I hope they're not disappointed, when they get there. And we heard from Ramapa Maharaj about the Buddhists they don't want, you know, their idea of liberation is nothing is better than something. So where are they headed? Nowhere, you know? So we have to realize that we have to work a little bit if we want, we have to pay a high price if we want to go to the supreme abode of Lord Krishna. And that, like it's described in this verse, it's only by the power of the devotees, the pure devotees, that will allow us to get some of these qualities. And to this power of the holy name is so important. If we can just perfect this chanting of our japa, listening to the holy name, actually contacting Krishna, letting it go to the heart and get rid of all that pride, this is the real key. It's a workout. Japa is a workout. Because we're struggling with that false identity, and all those desires that do keep popping up, even in the middle of your japa, you know, all these desires are popping up. So we have to take it very seriously and try not to be offensive when we're chanting. Try to be attentive to hear the holy name, the whole name. And that is Krishna. And it will connect us there. And then we will begin to experience that heaven of the holy name, and let it resound within our hearts. And then we'll want to go out, but we'll want to bring other people to this knowledge, not leave them hanging, thinking that, you know, just to get some better birth next lifetime is good enough. No, we won't. Go for the real goal of Krishna consciousness. So, actually, as Prabhupada was saying, like, yes, we're all servants. There's really no difference, you know. But he also offers, just like we heard a few minutes ago, Mukhi was saying, we can get some perks. We can all do service. It's all nice and equal and everything. But if you want perks, go out and distribute books. They benefit, you benefit even more. I was seeing yesterday, a couple of us went out, and we both came back together. We said, I can't believe this guy. He said that, I can't believe someone sent you here. I was just thinking how I need, you know, how I need spiritual help. And I was talking to somebody, I can't believe it. I don't know how it is that you knew that I really need, I was just getting into meditation. I need this inspiration, you know. So it's a perk to go out there. And just like when you're progressing in school, you know, and we're in school, like I say, we're working on it, working every day on becoming more pure. After a while, you need an exam to see how far you're getting along, to, like a check. So going out on Sankirtan is an exam. It's like a checkpoint every once in a while. So at least once a year, take an exam. At least during Christmas, go out and approach some of these people. Get a little check and see how you're doing. How are you doing on the philosophy? Are you able to, you know, come back and give the proper answer to these people? And you do. You get it. You know, sometimes you have to eat some humble pie. You know, and you don't know exactly what to say, and you have to go home and think, oh, sure, I thought of that. You know. So, how much have you been reading? How much is there for you to give to people? And how humble are you when people go, get out of here, you know, whatever. So, it's a good way to get some perks, and to wash away a lot of doubts, become more convinced that this philosophy does have everything, and that we have the real goal. We don't have to go anywhere else. And this will keep you strong so that we don't end up like in this purport of being in devotional service and all of a sudden taking a wrong corner and we're wrong for some years. So I humbly suggest that you grab some books and go anywhere. We're finding where we can go anywhere. We stop at anywhere. And somehow or other there's somebody interested, you know. Or this person said, I'm actually not interested, but this book looks perfect for that, my mother-in-law or whatever. And she ran back and found some money. And she says, oh, this is going to be perfect for her, you know. So then she, like it says, Lucas said, she's going to distribute that book to somebody else so she gets benefit for doing the same time. So, please go out and engage in this cleansing process, especially the maha cleanse of speaking what we're hearing every day, what we're consuming give it to others and let them enjoy it also. And then that heart will, soon that pride will go away and some love for Krishna will come out. And we'll be so happy to get back to the temple, that's for sure. And to see the Lord. I'm sure Dr. Chuck, he's not here, but first day he went out, and he said, I'll do it. Why not? He goes, this is kind of hard, you know? Not everybody's so, anxious for it. So it's a challenge, but that challenge is purifying. And that's what we need. We need this purification so that we never go away from the lotus feet of Krishna, and that we can obtain that shelter and be really satisfied, be really happy doing whatever little service we can in this lifetime. So anyone have anything they'd like to add? Or anybody want to volunteer to go out for the time? I think your wife wants to go. Yes. Any questions or any ideas about heavenly planets? Anybody knows what's going on there?
So
I hope I'm not too curious. The
description, Umandal. I'm pretty convinced it's a description of art and such. That the Jambudvip and all the other places, the gardens of Indra and Brahma and everything, they're all on art and such.
Well, what?
All those places are on art and satya, but as the age changes, the whole geography also changes every time.
I wouldn't make that speculation. That's a speculation. I think we should leave all that up to our science department. But I mean, it's in the Bhagavatam, so it's eternal, whatever's going on.
Four states that Priyavrata was rowing with his chariot and he was creating ocean. And that's, that has to be an art. Nowhere else it could be.
Yeah, I heard it was, in a dream, I heard it was in Guyana.
I accept. Yeah, anyway, let's. Did you want to say something?
It's just. I think everyone should. I don't know how to say it. Keep books in the car so that wherever you go, that will give you this pain. Laundromat, gas station, anywhere you go, you can actually use it. Keep in your car. Gas stations, you think you really want to get it, but I've got so many people in the gas station, you can take the book. Or anywhere.
Well, gas stations are good. Gas stations are good.
In your car, and then if you got it, put it on your seat there.
Well, Madamati's offering to go outside the town. She's got a hand there. See if you can work on her husband.
I was thinking that even the fact that devotees go out and people see us, it makes a difference. I was just at the 50th gala at Houston, so I was talking to a reporter there, India Broad, and she was saying, when I see you people, each and every one, I see you, you have certain feel of peace or satisfaction, or like she was just totally bewildered that she said, I don't understand, but when I see you people, I just see there's something different. So I was thinking that the fact that we just go out and people don't even get a book or something, but they see us, it makes a difference.
There's no loss going on. Never a loss. You'd be surprised. People tap you on the shoulder and say, I got a book from you, so and so and so and so, a million years ago, and just read it. There's Radhika waving her hand up. Big distributor.
I remember when Vaisheshika Prabhu was here once, and he was talking about the those who had done a lot of book distribution in the past but haven't in a long while, and how they have cold feet, you know. So all you have to do, he says, is just take a box of books, stand at a corner, and don't plan on distributing any books. Just stand there. Just stand there with the book. The box should be open, probably. And inevitably, somebody will come by and ask, what do you got in that box? And then you're going to pick it up, and you're going to tell them what it is, and you're going to see a book go out, and you get it. It's so easy. You don't have to be afraid. You know, you just go out there and stand there with a book in your arm or your hand and see what happens. And pray, of course. Hare Krishna.
Yes, Baba Ki Jai, Krishna Mayatam Ki Jai.